for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, September the 2nd, 2000. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher in the ladies' meeting.
This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
That God expects us to keep ourselves holy for Him and consecrated to Him. You know, when you really come to know the Lord, I mean, and not just know about Him, but know Him, you all know that what I'm saying, that you want to keep your life clean and above reproach. But girls, I'm telling you, if you're dealing with others and ministering deliverance to them, you got to teach them. They've got to be taught. It's not that you don't condemn them, but you love them, and if they'll hear you. You know, Jesus said if they won't hear you, you talk to them, but if they won't hear you, then shake the dust off your feet. You know, He said that when you go into a town and they won't listen to you, then you shake the dust off your feet, but that town ain't going to the next one. What I see in this is we can't waste our time on people that won't listen to us, but we go to people that we can't. There's too many people that need help. That's my whole point is there are so many people around us, the young people, that need help. They need us to love them and to minister to them. But unless they're willing, until they come to the end of themselves, it's like I said to my son, he wasn't young. He was an old man. I said, you an old man. Y'all have better sense. I wanted to beat him with a stick. But I loved him. I beat him with my words because I loved him. And I told him I did. But you ought to have better sense. Well, he didn't have the Lord. He had joined church and he told me when he got saved, he said, I rededicated my life. I said, you did what? He said, well, I asked Jesus to take me back. I said, good. I said, did you give everything to Him? He said, yes, I did, Mother. He said, I asked Him to take me and to save me and to teach me. And he's hungry for the Word. See, my point is that when a person truly gets saved, they change their life. I told my other son, some of you women have heard all my stories of my kids. They were perfect little devils. You thought I was going to say angels, didn't you? My boys were. They were until they, when they got away from home, they did their thing. But I told my oldest son, I said, when he told me he got saved, I said, you're not saved. You don't know the same Lord I do. If you did, you'd turn your life up. Mother, I said, no, you're just going through religion. It took him a while. But when he met Jesus, he changed. See, that's what we go by. And this is what you do with deliverance. When people get real deliverance, they change. They're not they're different. They're not the same. And they're no more walking in what they walked in. You know, I always say, if you're not different, if you I sit and do deliverance for a week. I've done it for years. And the woman wasn't indifferent. I learned the hard way. I'm not going to do that anymore. I will not work on somebody that won't change their life or not willing to change. This woman, she's in my church today. She couldn't go to the bathroom without her mother going with her. They brought her to me, and I didn't want her, but I got her. I'm just being honest. I didn't want her. And she had a demon that ruled her. I'm not kidding. She thought he was God. She said, God said, she had no soul. Her soul had been removed. This thing came in through incest, through child abuse. She was abused. And this thing came in, and he took her over. He was her comforter. She had sex with demons. That's why she couldn't go to the bathroom without her mother standing. She's 32 years old. She had been married, and the demon separated her from her husband. It was unreal. And I worked with that woman for years. We would do deliverance. She'd get buckets full of, you know, we have little garbage cans about like this, put a bag in it, and I'd pray for her sometimes. I'd do deliverance on her, and they'd change garbage cans three times. And she'd come back into the church the next time. She was just as bad as she was the day she left, the day before I did in deliverance on her. And she's always saying, I feel better. I said, I'm not doing this deliverance to make you feel better. I said, you're either going to serve God or you're not. And she told me later, she said, you know, I couldn't even hear you. I didn't even know what you were saying to me. And I began to go after soul ties with all the garbage she'd been involved in. And when she began to get her soul back, then she began to hear. She's not there yet. We still ain't got the strong man out, but I'm telling you, it's all the difference in daylight and dark. But she would go out. I really felt like she walked out the door and got seven worse than the first. I know she did, because she'd go out and do her thing. She would just rebellion was working. I don't know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And yet she kept coming back to church. Did you ever hear a demon say, I want deliverance, do deliverance on me? That demon in her would say, do deliverance on me. I want, do, come on, get me. You know, she needs deliverance. Never heard a demon. All demons that I'd ever run into say, go away, leave me alone. But it was so much of her. It was her personality. Just one of her personalities. What he was doing was taking our time away from people that really needed the help. And I look at her and I think, God, I just wanted to quit. You know, after you work and work and work, you don't see any change. You thought, well, it's all a waste of time. But I just kept going on. And it wasn't easy because I got to the place I didn't even want to go to church. I did not want to go to church and face that woman. And I just kept going. And one day that demon said, one of those demons, I don't know which woman said me, you're the dumbest woman I ever saw. And I thought, I sure am. I wouldn't be working on this one all these years. And it was years, I'm telling you. Seemed like 100. And he said, anybody else would have quit a long time ago. Why don't you give up? I said, I guess you just said it. He said, I was dumb. I said, God said, do it. I'm still here. And it was hard, but I'm going to tell you, she had been involved in everything. But you see, she finally, when we got enough of her soul back, she really wanted deliverance. She wanted it. And there must have been something in her. I said, deep down, the little girl in her was crying out and saying, help me. And if I'd have quit, she told me just recently, she said, you know, I don't know what would have happened to me. She said, I've been to doctors. They put me on medication. I don't know if she'd ever had shock treatments. But, see, she was hearing voices. These voices were talking to her. I hate to get a hold of people with voices, but I know they have to go. See, I know more about them now than I did back then. But when she came to us, you want to know how many years ago? You won't believe it. I don't believe it. 12. It's been 12 years. But I tell you what, she's a deliverance worker. She knows it. But nobody can talk her out of it. Nobody can tell her it doesn't work. The on the floor kind of, I'll just tell you this. I think I shared with y'all up here about the demon manifesting, chasing the lady around the... Okay, I got a call from the one that did the chasing. I mean, I called her today. She goes, she's keeping a look on my house while I'm gone. And I called her and she sounded so good. And just up. And she said, I got to tell you something. She said, I went to the grocery store. I worked this week, and I have had no pain. She said, God did a work. She said, I'm so excited. She said, I'm without pain again. Deliverance. I manifested the ruler spirit on her. And that thing was the one that chased the other girl around all the church. It was funny, but I praise the Lord that she's free from it, and she's real excited. She says, hurry back home. Let's do some more deliverance. Let's work on somebody else. And that's the good part about it. They want to help others. But anyways, where was I? Did I read Thessalonians? Yeah, I did, didn't I? Okay, let's go over to Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Oh, praise the Lord. Can't remember how I got into this one. Let me check the scripture. I left off 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1 through 5. What the Lord is showing me, you know what 1 Corinthians 5 is? It's where there's incest in the church. Remember when Paul said that the man was sleeping with his brother, his father's wife? Well, what the Lord was showing me with this, when we have come to the place where we compromise the word, I'm saying we do. A lot of people don't like confrontation, and they let sin go on in the church or in their house or whatever. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians, I'll go back over there in a minute, but when he accused them, he said to the church, he said, there's sexual sins in the church, and he said that a man is sleeping with his father's wife, and he said, you're puffed up with pride, saying, you know, we're doing everything, I suppose. But they weren't doing anything about the sin. And I see that God is telling us, you know, I was talking about how the Lord wouldn't let me bring my son home, that we need to get the sin out of this church, this temple of ours. But also, we need to call sin what it is. We need to not cover it up, okay? And Jesus says here in Matthew 18, and I thought about this when I was reading it this morning. He said, it needs to be confronted. Jesus said the sin needs to be confronted. In verse 15, he said, if your brother wrongs you, and he's talking about it, well, someone wrongs you personally, but you look at it like this. He said, if your brother wrongs you, go and show him his fault between you and him privately, and if he listens to you, you've won back your brother. But if he does not listen, take along with you one or two others so that every word may be confirmed and upheld by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he pays no attention to them, refusing to listen and obey, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a pagan and a tax collector. And if you go on and read the rest of this, you know, this whole chapter is on forgiveness. And he said in verse, the latter part of the chapter, he talks about that if it's not taken care of and if a person doesn't forgive and change, then turn them over to the tormentors. So we turn, and Paul says this over in, go back to, let's go to 1 Corinthians 5 and let's look what Paul said about it. God is trying to, you know, when I came over here last time, God had spoke to me before I came over here, and he said, I will not indwell an unclean vessel. And what I see why the Lord had me on this, teaching this, that he's trying to show us that he wants the church cleansed. He wants this temple of ours cleansed. He wants the church where we gather together as a body. He wants it clean and holy so the presence of God can appear and fill us and his presence can work within us. But, you know, if God turned his back on Jesus upon the cross where he couldn't look at sin, think how much more today that he's looking at us. Yeah, he loves us, but he looks at us through the shed blood of Jesus. He looks at us perfected. He knows how what we are. He knows how we're going to be too. But he said over in Revelation that the bride has made herself ready. So we've got to do our part to prepare to be the bride of Christ, to be his bride. Or are we going to be in the outer court? I don't want out there. I want in the Holy of Holies where God is. And you can't go in there with sin on you. What happened in the Old Testament? They died if they went in with sin. So he said here in verse 9 and 1 Corinthians 5. Now let's back up to verse 7. I want 7. He said, now I got to go all the way back to 6. I'll get the right one in a minute. He said, about the condition of your church, your boasting is not good. Indeed, it is most unseemly and entirely out of place. Do you not know that just a little leaven will ferment the whole lump of dough? You women that make bread, you know what yeast does in bread. I used to make it on in more, but it rises. It infiltrates the whole thing. And so what the leaven, when he's talking about here is sin. He talks about leaven. Always when he's mentions this leaven, he's talking of sin in the church. Sin in our bodies, that a little sin, well, a little sin won't hurt anyone. Yeah, it will. You pollute the whole body. And I'm talking about this body or the body of the church, either one. He said, purge out the old leaven that you may be fresh new dough, still uncontaminated as you are from Christ, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. He's telling us there's no excuse. We have no excuse. If we had to stand before the Lord and we will one day stand before the Lord, won't we? We can't say, well, God, I didn't know. Can we? You say it's written in the book, and you've been going around quoting the scriptures. You are preaching to everybody. I tell you what, I've had a lot of time to examine myself, and I'm still doing that. I'm not there yet. I'm still doing it since my husband died. And God is just showing me things, just, you know, in the natural, you look and you think, well, what was anything really bad about that, Lord? But if God's pointing it out, there's something bad about it, you know? So he's telling us to clean up the church. He said, therefore, let us keep, well, I don't need to go that way. Okay, let's read the rest of this. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, not with leaven of vice and malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of purity, nobility, honor, and sincerity, and unadulterated truth. You know, the Bible says that no liars will be in heaven. I'll give you that scripture if I have time. But now, he said, Where was I? Where was I already? No. And that I wrote you in my previous letter not to associate closely and habitually with unchaste people, impure people. Not meaning, of course, that you must altogether shun the immoral people of this world, for are the greedy graspers and cheaters and thieves or idolaters, since otherwise you wouldn't need to be out of the world and human society altogether. But now I write unto you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of Christian. I didn't mean to go that far on things, but I'll finish it since I started it. Who bears the name of Christian, brother, if he is known to be guilty of immorality or greed, or is an idolater whose soul is devoted to any object that usurps the place of God, or is a person with a foul tongue. The person with a foul tongue. You hear people sometimes that every other word they say is an ugly word. I can't, they grieve your spirit when you're around them. And I don't stay around them. In fact, I don't hear anything like that too much. I hear them over on TV if you turn the TV on than you would around people. You know, the TV is filth. Abusing, he said, or is a person with a foul tongue railing and abusing, reviling, slandering, or is a drunkard or a swindler or a robber? No, you must not so much as eat with a person. He tells us that we're to be holy people set apart, and we're to cleanse this body of ours. We're to, and the sexual sins, overeating, compromising God's word. We have compromised the word till I don't know how God is putting up with us, to be honest with you, sometimes, because we don't want to confrontation. And honey, it takes that sometimes to take care of the problems we have found. Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy 23 and let's look at adultery and bestiality or whatever. I forget what that is. In Deuteronomy chapter 23, I get more people mad at me when I get on bestiality. So don't get mad at me. I try not to say too much, okay? I just say whatever the Lord shows me about it. He said, in verse 1 of Deuteronomy 23, he says, he who is wounded in the testicles or has been made a eunuch shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. These people that go around having sex changes, they're not to enter into the congregation of the Lord according to the word. They're telling God he made a mistake. And my God doesn't make mistakes. A person begotten out of wedlock shall not enter into the assembly of the Lord, even to his tenth generation shall his descendants not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Children being born, I talked about to begin with, out of wedlock, this is a tool of the devil to keep kids from getting saved. They're born out of wedlock, which is they're born in sin. And the devil gets a hold of them, and until somebody knows how to break those curses off of them, it's hard to get them in church. God loves them. But, see, God has given us authority to break those curses, and the church has not known how to do it, so it's been repeating itself. And so, in Galatians 3:13 tells us that Jesus was made a curse upon the cross for us. And so we have the authority to break these curses, and we stop this. We can stop this if we'll work on it now. We've heard this and heard this over and over again, but you know, I found that God's wanting to refresh us on a lot of this stuff. We've heard it so much that we've let a lot of things slip. I know I have, and God has been bringing me back to a lot of it. The third verse says, an Amorite or Moabite shall not enter the congregation of the Lord, even to the tenth generation. Their descendants shall not enter into the assembly of the Lord forever. And when you read the rest of that, it talks about that they didn't give food to and water to the Israelites as they came out of Egypt. But if you go over into Genesis 19, you get Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, ancestral, his daughters, and the incest that he had with his daughters were the two tribes that came out of that ancestral relationship with the Moabites and the Amorites. And the incest is a 10-generation curse. It is, and it has to be taken care of. It has to be broken, called off. You know, I don't know if you all do this, but when you break curses, you need to call them out. A lot of people say, well, I broke all these curses. Well, that sounds real good, but what if they're still, when you broke them, how did you break them? They're still there working until you call them out. Do you call the curses out when you break them? You should. I know people don't do that. I know a lot of people won't do it, but they should, because they're still working. Okay. Yes. I'll tell you what, you can pick up all kinds of spirits off of the TV. You can get lust, The music, you know, the music is demonic, and let me tell you, there was a minister came from, I don't know, it was India or Africa. He came to minister at a church, and he went in, and they were praising, singing, and praising the Lord. And they had drums in the church, and I don't remember what kind of beat it was, but he sat back and he said, "My God," he says, "what are y'all doing?" And they said, "Well, we're worshiping the Lord." He said, "No, you're worshiping demons. You're calling up the demons." Said we, wherever he was from, said that beat was the way that the witch doctors called up the demonic forces. And so they're gonna do their own thing, but I'm telling you that. They said, and I said this to people, they said, "You've gone too far out." Well, I'm too far out to get back. So just cut the limb off and let me go. Okay. Rock music, you know, before we used to have to deal with subliminal thing on the music. But now they don't have to put it on like that. They just got it in the words, and the kids are getting it pumped into them. And where you go into a store, you can't even go in a store without getting new age garbage dumped on. You pick up the phone and call somebody to put you on hold, you get the garbage. So it's we're getting it from every way, people, and it's time that we stood up and become and work and we're accounted. We're going to be accountable to the Lord. I don't care what anybody says about me, because they can't do anything with me. They're not my boss. I don't have but one boss. Since my husband's gone, I only have one boss. And I'm going to try with all my heart to please my God. And I was telling the Lord when I went downstairs into the prayer closet before I came up here, and I said, "Lord, I just want to do what you want me to do. No more, no less." And I said, "Father, we need to stand and stop being wishy-washy." James said, "A double-minded man will receive nothing from the Lord." And the thing is that you and I may be the only Bible that others are reading, people that don't know the Lord are reading. And if we're wishy-washy, they'll walk away and say, "Well, the church is, you've heard that, the church is full of hypocrites." And all they see is the bad. And so we've got to be with the eyes on Jesus. We're not trying to please men. We couldn't if we tried. And we want to do all we can to please our God. And so we come against all this stuff simply because we've got to get rid of it. We've got to have people say, "Well, I'm not in the Old Testament." I said, "Well, you sure ought to be. How can you read the new without going through the old?" I was in church for years that they never read the Old Testament. And my word, how can you even know Jesus without reading starting at Genesis and reading the promise of God for the Messiah, our Savior to come? And yet they say, "Well, you know, I'm not under that. I'm under the New Testament." I've had people get mad at me for so much of the things I say. And I say, "Well, I didn't say it. I'm just reading it out of the Word. I didn't write the book. I'm just reading it. And if you got any problem with it, take it up with God." You say, "Well, you're under the law." Well, I have never found out where the law, where Jesus said over in the New Testament, he said he didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And so he gave us the authority to take care of all the problems if we do it. But we, you know, the enemy tries his best to get us in, and we've been there. And see, we got to go back to we belong to the devil to start with. And when God saved us out of the kingdom of darkness, yeah, he got rid of a lot of garbage in us. But those curses, those sins of the fathers see, that's where all this stuff is coming from on our kids today, is from the sins of the fathers. But let me tell you what keeps the sins of the fathers from destroying God's people. Until they sin, those curses don't work. I don't care who you are. You see, that's our protection against them. If your father committed murder, or your grandfather committed murder, you're under the curse. But until you sin and open the door for it to come forth, you're not going to go out and kill somebody. But see, that's what activates the curses. We had to have some protection. We'd never be here. And when you read it, you know, over in Ezekiel, it says that you'll not die for your father's sins. You know, you read that. It tells you that. But But you're going to answer for your own sin. And so when I saw that, I said, Lord, that's the protection over the sins of the fathers. He said, people say, well, that says I'm not under his sins. No, you're under them, but they don't work on you until you open the door to let them. Why is it some kids say you've got four kids in a family, and they all raise the same thing. They're all under the same curses from the mother and the father side of the family. But maybe there's one or two in there that never gets involved in those things. Why? See? Until they open the door for it to work. It doesn't work in their life. And the problem is, if we take care of them now, if we get rid of all these, see, you break them off of yourself, you break them off of your family, then you break them off of your grandchildren. Well, I find that I'm real guilty of this. I break them backwards, but I forget to go forwards with them. 3 and 4 generations. God said, the sins of the fathers of Israel's children to the 3rd and 4th generation. Well, I'm probably the 4th generation. So if I don't get them broken, they're going to go 4 more generations. How many times do you break them forwards? You know, I go backwards to the Garden of Eden. So I just say, Lord, you promised protection over my kids, and I break the curses off of them. I do that when God brings something that I have missed. I go and break it off my grandchildren. I got a couple, three grandchildren born out of wedlock. You say, yeah, I'm not proud of it. I love them. I love my grandkids. I can't live their life. See, somewheres before we learn about all this, it was working. And so I didn't break it forward. Do you see what I'm saying, that we have to? I tell you what, it won't hurt to do it. And I break it as far forward as I could think of. Say, Lord, from now till Jesus comes, I break the curses off. You can't go any further forwards than that. You can't go any further backwards than the Garden of Eden. And people tell me, well, where are you coming from? Well, just anything God drops in my spirit, I always apply it to me first. Okay? Okay, let's go to Leviticus 18, verse 15. This is one of the reasons I wanted to do this up here instead of downstairs, because it's hard to do it when you got mixed congregation. But in verse, this is on the curses of sexual sins, and you need to read it. I find you really need to read it in the Amplified so you can understand what it says. It said, instead of it, in the King James, it doesn't make it as plain. In verse 14, it says, you shall not have intercourse with your father's brother's wife. This goes through the whole family. But in verse 15, it says, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Got where I... Oh, okay. She is your son's wife. She belongs to your brother. You shall not marry a woman and her daughter, or shall not take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to have intercourse, that they are her near kinsmen. It is wickedness and an outrageous offense. You must not marry a woman in addition to her sister to be a rival to her having sexual relations with a second sister when the first one is alive. Also, you shall not have intercourse with a woman during her menstrual period or similar uncleanness. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. Now, I don't know if you've taken care of this or not, but if you've ever had sex during the time when you were at your period, then you can bring in, let me see what I had put down here when I was studying this. You bring in a lot of which God said here, you're not to do it. He says, moreover, you shall not do it. And this is under the, if you keep reading it, he tells us that it brings a curse of death upon us. Okay, I'm going to go a little bit further with this. I see I had a few more scriptures here I want to read. He said, you shall not give any of your children to pass through the fire and sacrifice them to Molech, the fire god, nor shall you profane the name of your God by giving it to false gods. I am the Lord. Abortion. The false god, the Molech, you know who Molech was. He was the god that had a hole in his belly, and his arms were out like this, and they put the firstborn child on it, and it built a fire there, and they killed it. They said that, I think I heard Doc do this one time, and he said that they have, dance and do all the thing, play their music so they couldn't hear the screams of the children as they killed them. And they were sacrificing them to that false god. So what we see in our country today, that every abortion is a sacrifice to the enemy, Satan. It is a sacrifice to the enemy. You shall not lie with a man as with a woman. It is an abomination. Homosexuality. I hear people say they're born that way. They're not born that way. You say, well, I know someone that were. No, if you go in and go to looking back to the very root of it, somewhere in the background they were probably. The reason I know this, one of the women in our church has a son that was molested by his cousin when he was just a little bitty boy. And I don't know how long it went on before they found out about it. And that boy has been drawn to men ever since. She never did bring him in. In fact, she didn't find out about it until he was a pretty good-sized kid, and he came and told her. And it's drawn him. I think he's going to get married, but for a long time he was pulled that way. He didn't know who he was. He had a real hard time with it. And I do not believe that there's anyone ever born that way. I think somewhere it's in the background, and I believe that if they ever want to come, they should come out, and should really want to come out, knowing what God says about it. And there's been a lot of people. I tell y'all this, it was a couple came to our church to learn deliverance. We get people like that come in, and they'll come in and learn deliverance, then go out and go on and minister. This couple was working at a mission in Memphis, and they came into our church, and I was teaching on this one time in the church, and they went back to the mission. And they always wrote my sermons down word for word. I think what she didn't get, he did. They were just busy writing. And they came back, and the next time they came to the church, and they were so excited. They were just literally just, I thought they were walking on clouds. You think people thought they're just jumping. She said, we got a man that was homosexual delivered. He came to us. We told him what you taught, and he heard it. And he came for prayer, and we worked with him. I don't remember how long they worked with him. She said, I wish you could see him. He doesn't look like the same man. I said, he's not. They got him delivered because he wanted to be delivered. So you see, it's spirit, and God says it's an abomination. He said you're not to lie with a man as a woman. Neither shall you lie with any beast and defile yourself with it. Neither shall any woman yield herself to a beast to lie with it. It is confusion, perversion, and degradedly carnal. Let me tell you something. A lot of confusion. I deal with a lot of women that come in that said they just had their mind is so confused at times, and we go after bestiality on them, and also maybe they've never participated in it, but they're under the curse of it, and they once you get it off, they get rid of the. It also brings in insanity, and if you go after the confusion. After you go after bestiality, you don't go after bestiality, confusion first, because you're going after symptoms. You go after the root of it. And then you get the symptoms off. Like, for instance, you're going after someone that's addicted to cigarettes. Okay, and they want to get free. And so I hear people going after, smoking. What do? You go after the root cause of the addiction. And you go after a spirit of addiction. You go after, try to find out what got them started smoking to start with. If the Holy Spirit shows you, then you go after that. Then you go after the taste, the desire, and the craving. Alcoholics, same way. And alcoholics, alcoholic people, and I believe that really if you get back to smoking, it's a form of, the addiction is just like with food. It goes back to the root cause of it, which that comes from over in Genesis when Noah's son, Ham, came in and uncovered his father's nakedness. And Noah was drunk, right? Okay, so you break the curse of Ham, and then you break the curse of Noah. Then you go after the curse of perversion. Then you go after diabetes and a lot of cravings. Every alcoholic I've ever known that's been delivered, we have to work on their craving for sugar. They'll go to bed and put a dish of candy beside their bed because they wake up during the night, and until you get the cravings out, it's a craving for alcohol. They're craving for cigarettes. They're craving. I had a woman come to our church one time. My husband was praying for to get her free from addictions. Of smoking. She said, I want to quit smoking. And so I don't know what he was going after, but he manifested a spirit guide. He said, how in the world did you go after a spirit guide when you're going after addiction? Well, I don't know, but he called me over there. Our church had some posts in the middle of it, and she had got up in the chair and was trying to go up on that post. And he said, come over here and help me. I can't put my hands on this woman. So I went over there, and I pulled her down. I got another one over there who helped me. We got her down the chair. And so I said, let's talk to that thing. Find out what, and I asked him what he had. He said, this thing said he's Jesus. And so I said, what were you going after? He said, smoking. And I said to that thing, what are you doing in her? Why did you come for it? He said, you can't get that out of her. She don't want to give it up. He said, because we the one that brought it in. I said, we who? He said, well, and we kept asking him. He didn't tell me this just because I asked him. You know, you have to put pressure on. There were two of them. One of them was love, and the other one was Jesus. They were her spirit guide. She was in the occult. And smoking was just a byproduct of the occult. These things had got her into smoking. Just like the alcohol and all this is always a root cause to it. And so God says it's an abomination, and so we have to go after the root of it. And with homosexuality, you go back to molestation, you go back to incest, and you go back to child abuse. Because I've dealt with that too also on women and men. And let me tell you something. You cannot get them free if they don't want it. They may come and sit before you and tell everybody I'm getting deliverance and it don't work. You know why it doesn't work? They don't want it. I don't care who they are. I've been there and done that, and I know it. I dealt with a man that was a homosexual, and every time I would get to the root of that thing, see, God kept telling me he didn't want it, but he kept coming for deliverance, and so we kept praying for him. And last time he came to our church for deliverance, we manifested the ruler of homosexuality, which was child abuse, incest, through a friend. I think it was a friend that I don't think it was the father. Many times just the father. And when that thing came up, he said, you can't get me out. He doesn't want me to go. So I never did pray for him again. What's the point? Uh-huh. Keep from hearing the screams. Well, you watch the drums in a church in the worship service and see what happens. I won't get on that. I think it's funny because Jim and I did that one time. We were in a meeting that they were playing drums, and we watched the spirits manifest. We were sitting in the back. It was real interesting. We left. We couldn't take it. We sat there and watched it for a little bit, and I told Jim, I said, let's get out of here. I said, I don't want him here. So we left. But anyways, it's true. They didn't want to hear the screams of the children. He said in verse 24, do not defile yourself in any of these ways, for in all these things the nations are defiled, and which I'm casting out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I will visit the iniquity of it upon it, and the land itself I'll make out her inhabitants. Did you know that our land is defiled because of the sin in it? Our land is defiled. I'm going to read another scripture over in Revelation. In fact, I think I've got two I've just got to read. Well, I don't just got to, but I want to if y'all will permit me. And then we'll do deliverance. In Revelation chapter 21, there's a scripture in Leviticus 20, I didn't do it, in verse 13 through 18, that tells you that homosexuality and bestiality brings death curses. And there's a curse from God on it. But in Revelation 21 in verse 8, verse 7, we sing this in our church, but not like it's written here. It says, he who is victorious shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But verse 8 says, but as for the cowards and the ignoble and the contemptuous and the cravenly lacking in courage and the cowardly submissive, as for the unbelieving and faithless, and as for the devout, depraved and defiled with an abomination, as for murderers and the lewd and the adulterers and the practitioners of magic arts and the idolaters, those who give supreme devotion to anyone or anything other than God, and all liars, those who knowingly convey untruth by word or deed, all of these shall have their part in the lake that blaze with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. It tells us like it is, doesn't it? And we're without excuse. And there's one other verse I wanted to use over in 1 John 5, chapter 5. You know, we don't have to live with this stuff. We can get rid of it if we really want to. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 18 says, we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin, but the one who was begotten of God... But the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him, protects Christ's divine presence within him, preserves him against the evil, and the wicked one does not lay hold, get a grip on him, or touch him. Anyone that is born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing these sins. John puts it very plain that when we're born of God, we don't have to do these things. And so when people say, well, I couldn't help it, they're lying. They've done it because they want to. Because the Word tells us. God says, I'll give you a way to escape when temptation comes, if you're tempted. But would you want some deliverance this afternoon? Good, good. Praise the Lord. Well, okay, if you'll put your feet flat on the floor, we're going to pray. And we're going to do some. I've got a list of these, all these things I've been talking about this afternoon. Lust and, you know, all this stuff. So if you want, if you, you know, you can have lust even if it's not a sexual lust. Lust for food. Lust for things. So God wants us to clean up this, all this stuff. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the deliverance. You said that we are your children and deliverance is the children's bread. So Father, we thank you. And you said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And I thank you now, Father, for the deliverance as we pray. Lord, we come before you now and we confess our sins in the name of Jesus. We come and confess every sin that we've committed that would hinder any way getting us free. I just remit every sin, Father. You said whosoever sins we remit are remitted, and whosoever sins we retain are retained. And I thank you, Father, for your word. I bind Satan's power of this meeting now in the name of Jesus. I bind him again. I bind any hindering spirits in the name of Jesus. And ask now, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. To let the Holy Spirit just move mightily right now, Father, to break the enemy's yoke in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. And I bind every spirit to my authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus. And demons, when I call your name, you will come out of those that want to be free. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I just thank you again for deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. I always tell people, when I'm doing deliverance, God won't deliver you from your friends. You have to want them to go. And when I'm talking about friends, people make friends of the demons sometimes. I told you about the girl, so that I've seen it and I know it happens. So in the name of Jesus, I come against the spirits of lust. I'm going to start with lust. Lust, you come out of there now in Jesus' name. Loosen them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, I break every curse of lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the world, lust of the flesh. In the name of Jesus, turn loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there, all the lust. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.